We're going to look at some scriptures in Luke 15. If you've been around the church, been in the church for any number of years, I'm sure that this is a familiar story to you. And I thought we would just take a few minutes and look at it and glean from it whatever we can this morning. And it's typically referred to as the prodigal son. So if you'll allow me, I'm going to read this passage and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it for a few minutes. And I'm reading out of, I was raised on the King James, so I'm reading out of the King James Version. But and he said, that is Jesus, he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And the father divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat, let's celebrate, let's be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, he's found. And they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, Your brother is come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he's received him safe and sound. But he was angry. And he wouldn't go in. So then the father came out and entreated him. And he answered and said, Lo, all these years do I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time your commandments, and yet you never even gave me a goat that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured your living with harlots, you've killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's been found. Let's ask God to open our hearts and minds to the scriptures this morning. Heavenly Father, your word is so rich, so full. Open our hearts this morning and help us to hear what Jesus is saying. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's three main characters in this story. There's the father, the older son, and of course the younger son. It's a parable. This is fictitious. This isn't an actual happening. Jesus was just and is just wonderful that telling stories, telling these parables to make a point, to get something across, to get people to think. So let's consider this for a minute. You know the story. The young son asks for his inheritance. He doesn't want to wait till his father to pass away to get his inheritance. He wants it now. So the father does. He divides his inheritance. And notice it says to them, to both sons. The young son can't wait. He gets ready. He takes off. He goes into a far country. He starts to live it up. He's spending his money recklessly. He's living recklessly. And verse 14 says, and when he had spent everything, he went through the whole inheritance. It doesn't tell us how long, but probably wasn't all that long. And wouldn't you know what happens? A famine, a mighty famine arises in that area. The party's over. Now he has to find a job. And what does he find? He finds a job feeding swine. I can't think of anything much lower. And verse 17 says, and he came to himself. Good phrase. It's a good expression. He came to himself. It reminds me, people my generation, maybe I'm aging myself a little bit, it reminds me of a verse, a song that was popular back in the 70s. James Taylor. He said, I've been walking my mind to an easy time, my back turned towards the sun. But Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. And that's what happened with this young man. The cold wind, in this case a famine, turned his head around. And he got to thinking, and he thought, geez, my dad has servants that have more to eat than I do. That expression, coming to ourself or coming to himself, you suppose God's a part of that? I'm sure he is. You suppose God was involved with that? And forgive me. You suppose he was involved with that famine at that? But it got this young man's attention. And he came to himself. I believe God was involved with that. So what does he think? He thinks to himself, What am I doing here? I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to repent. I'm going to tell my dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Father. I've sinned. Not only against you, but against heaven. He knew in his heart this wasn't right. It wasn't the way to live. So he came to himself and he goes back to his father. And I like verse 20. And he rose and came to his father. But the Bible says, and Jesus was saying, but when he was a great way off, he was still way off in the distance, his father saw him. How did the father see him when he was a great distance away? He was watching for him. He was looking for his son, probably every day. Every day. What's the father do? Does he scold him? I told you. Your brother warned you. Does he do that? No. He goes and falls on his neck, hugs him, kisses him. The son hasn't even said anything yet. Do you get that in the story? The son hasn't said a word. Falls on his neck, kisses him. And the son follows through with what he said he was going to do. And he tells his father, I've sinned. Father, I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Make me a servant. The father wouldn't have anything to do with that. He said, no. What's he do? He calls the servants. Bring a robe, a ring, shoes. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate my son coming home. He was dead. That's why I had the scriptures in Ephesians read. We were all dead in our sins and trespasses. That's what it says. We were all dead. Now, you think the story would end right there. What a wonderful ending to a story. But it doesn't. The older son, he's out in the field working. He hears the music, the dancing, and he's wondering, well, what's going on? So he comes back to the house. He finds one of the servants, asks him, what's happening here? And the servant tells him, your brother. He's been found. He's back. Your dad's having a celebration. Does the older brother say, oh, man, good. He's home. I've missed him. No, he doesn't say that. It says he was angry. He was angry. He wouldn't even go into the party. Can you see him? What? He came home? And now my father's having a party for him? What? No, I'm not going in. I'm not going in. He doesn't deserve a party. Make him a servant. Or better yet, send him away. He wanted to be out there. You made your bed. Exactly. Not happy that his brother had come back. So the father goes out. Come on in. Come on in, join the festivities. Your brother is here. No. I've been working all these years. You wouldn't even give me a goat. I couldn't have a little party with my friends. Verse 30, but as soon as this, your son has come back. He doesn't say, as soon as this, my brother has come back. He says, as soon as your son has come back, after he spent everything that you gave him, you have him a party. What a story. Now let's ask ourselves a question. Why was Jesus telling this story? Well, to get that, we have to go back to the first two verses of the chapter. We hadn't read those yet. Luke 15:1 says, then drew near unto him, Jesus, the publicans and the sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured and they said, man, this man receives sinners. And he eats with them. He even dines with these sinners. What's that sound like? These were scribes and Pharisees. These were the religious group. These were the people that went to church, paid their tithes, followed the commandments, at least outwardly. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw the sinners coming to Jesus and sitting at his feet and Jesus receiving them, were they glad? Did they say, you know, we've tried to reach these people all these years and we just couldn't get through to him. Look, isn't it wonderful Jesus is able to get through to them and they're listening? No. They're angry. They're angry like the older brother. They murmured against Jesus. He receives sinners. He dines with them, trying to a slur against Jesus. So what do we get from this story? We know why he was telling this story. He was trying to get through to some people who were so set in their ways. They had so much anger. What do we get from this? Is this the story? Now listen, is the story about the younger son? Well, yeah, somewhat, but not really. Is the story about the older brother? Yeah. I think the story is about the father. I do. I think it's about the father. I think it's about his unrelenting love for people. I do. I think it's about him looking out over humanity and loving them with such a great love that he would give his only son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And for whom? Who did he give his son for? The 99 sheep that didn't need to be saved? Or the one? Let me ask you a question. Who do you identify most with in this story? You know what? I think all of us can identify with the younger son to some degree, and maybe more than once in our lives. I think we can. Isn't that crazy? We always think we can do better. We can go and find our pleasure and our peace and our joy somewhere else. Do you identify with the older son? Yeah, I think we probably do sometimes, to our shame. Ever seen someone that you thought didn't deserve God's blessings, and yet God blessed them anyway? Do you ever think, well, wait a minute. I've been good. I've always done what you want me to do. I've not disobeyed and gone off and squandered things. I've done my best. And how come you're blessing that guy? Jeez, what about me? I'd like to have a party. Or do you identify with the Father? I hope so. I hope so for you and for me both. I hope we can identify with a father once in a while and see something of this sort and be glad about it instead of being angry. Be glad. Rejoicing with those that rejoice. Weeping with those that weep. Do you know the Father like this? Really, really. Do you know him like this? See, God doesn't save people by committee. He saves people one at a time. And this was actually the third parable in a series that Jesus spoke in response to the way that the Pharisees and the scribes, how they were reacting. The first one was about the sheep. What man, if he has 100 sheep and he loses one, he leaves the 99, he goes and finds it. When he finds it, he rejoices. They have a celebration. Or a woman who has pieces of silver and she misplaces one and she tears the house upside down looking for it. When she finds it, she's so happy. What did Jesus say? He said, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. There is more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one. Do we? Sometimes I wonder if I understand that. Do I understand that there's joy there's celebration in heaven over one person who repents and comes back home. That we identify with this and not be like the older brother. Isn't that wonderful? Is that a wonderful story or what? That's a wonderful story. So, you know, I don't know. I know very few people here. But when I was preparing this, I thought, I wonder if there's anyone here this morning, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody. You know, you're not going to raise your hand or anything. I'm wondering if there's anybody here this morning who is at that point or close to getting to that point where you're coming to yourself. Like, things are starting to dawn on you and you think, what am I doing out here? Can I tell you that the one who made you, the creator of everything. Can I tell you that one who made everything, your Heavenly Father, loves you immensely. And is ready to welcome you home. So, open your heart. Open your heart. Find again that one who loves you like that. There's no one else like that in the whole world. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son for you, for me. Amen.